Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, you had the privilege of speaking this past Sunday, and you talked about challenges to our journey, a very appropriate topic right now.
We took it from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where there we see Paul talking about a lot of trouble that they had. They were afflicted in lots of ways, but what was going on the outside didn't affect their inside. And the spirit they maintained, even though they were going through a crisis. And that carries over to where we are today. There's lots of stuff going on, and it can just turn our insides out and make us a mess, and we can forget about where we're going and this big picture of things.
We talk a lot on this podcast about being heaven-bound. That's a mindset that takes into account the fact that we are on a journey, right? And there are challenges along the way. I really liked how you approached last Wednesday's episode, and I had that in mind as I listened to your sermon. And so I jotted down a couple of questions. I thought that was a great approach last Wednesday. And so I want to stay within the realm of your outline. If you have not had the opportunity to watch or to listen, I would definitely encourage you to go back and do that. And right there on the page at charlestownroad.org, there is a basic outline. We're staying in the framework of that. But Roger, number one, you mentioned a variety of different examples from Hebrews chapter 11, these men and women of faith who encountered challenges that many of us can only imagine being faced with. But that raises the question in many people's minds, why would God even allow his people to face challenges?
That's a great question. A lot of people wonder about that, and that is enough for a lot of people to kind of put a pause on their faith, and for some even to end their journey of their faith, because they, in their mind, their expectations, if I'm a Christian, then it'll be smooth sailing here on out. When you go through Hebrews 11, nearly every single person there encountered some challenges. We do that, God allows that, because we are to trust him and walk by faith. This section of Corinthians, where the sermon came from, would say in chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so there is Daniel in the lion's den. There's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace. There's Moses' parents who refused to listen to the law of having their son killed, and they put him in the bulrushes, in the basket there. And so this whole idea is we must use our faith, and we face the unknown, we face the uncertain, we face the difficulty, but we face that with a God that we know and trust and love and have confidence that he'll help us through these things. And so that's the thing before us. If we're looking for an easy way, we're looking for a smooth path, it's not going to be following Jesus. Because those who followed Jesus had laws written against him. They were chased. They were imprisoned. They were persecuted. Yet their faith, their inside, never gave up on the Lord.
In fact, you brought out, and this will transition us to question number two, you brought out in your sermon that the journey often becomes even more difficult when you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. You use a couple of examples. Marriage, you went back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You talked about servants in the first century. What other everyday examples can you think of if I become a disciple of Jesus? In fact, life at different points might even get more difficult.
You know, and this is not just true of Christianity. This is true of our different stations in life. When a person gets married, there's more challenges to that. There are wonderful, wonderful blessings in being married, but you no longer just think about yourself. You've got to think about the other person, and you've got to put the other person first in your life if you want to have a rich marriage. And so it's that way when we think about our walk with the Lord. You go to work, and there you're surrounded with people who make the rules as they go along. They lie, they cheat, they steal. You are compelled to be honest in a dishonest world. That is a challenge. We think about the student in school where all around them are people who are going to cheat just to get the scholarship or cheat just to get ahead. You're challenged to do what is integrity and what is right. Even within among our brethren, we hear things, and there's the temptation to gossip and say things we shouldn't say. We have to serve others when we may not feel like that. So the idea of difficulties and challenges is before us because we are bigger than ourselves now. We are looking at other people. We're following the Lord. The Lord has principles and footsteps that we have to follow. And in following those, there's a lifestyle. We got to let our light shine. We got to exemplify and manifest Jesus in our life. And that compels us to be honest and to be above board and do what is right, to forgive and have grace in our hearts. And all those principles, powerful, powerful principles, shows us that sometimes being a Christian is harder than not.
It's not downhill. It's not easy. And that not ought to be a surprise to us. Jesus told us that right in the Sermon on the Mount, right? That there is a gate that is wide and a way is easy, but it leads in the wrong direction. That's not the path that we want to be bound on.
You know, the easy thing in life is things that just take no effort.
Yeah,
it's easy. I mean, I could take any of our listeners that's an any college major. I don't care what your major is. I guarantee you I could go and flunk out. That's easy to do. Any of our people that got jobs, I don't care what your job is. I'm sure I could get fired. It'd be easy to get fired. It's hard to get the promotion. It's hard to make the dean's list. It's hard to do what's right. That's the way life is. And when we're always looking for the easy way out, sometimes that's not the best choice.
Absolutely. The third question I jotted down, one that really just stopped me as a dad with daughters still at home in my tracks on Sunday. You made the observation that parents need to create an environment where questions are safe. When we talk about challenges to our journey, maybe we naturally think of somebody in their 30s or 40s or 50s, but there are challenges to young people still at home with their parents as well. And so what would you say to the parent? What are some basics that moms and dads need to keep in mind to make sure that home environment is a safe place for questions?
Sure. You know, in our 2 Corinthians 4 study we did Sunday, we noticed four areas of challenges that Paul lists there. He talked about troubles. He talked about questions or being perplexed, resistance, and then suffering. And we made the point that those four things are enough to crash a faith, particularly a young faith. And so our young people, they're going to be challenged by their peers. They're going to have questions. They're going to have some people that's going to try to pull them the other way. If there's not a safe haven in our congregations and more so in our homes to discuss these things, they're likely just to go that other direction. And so we create that haven by talking openly, without shouting them down, or they say a few things and that's enough, and we raise our hair and we start preaching a sermon to them. Let them speak freely. Now, they may say some things that upset you. They may say some things that really trouble you. But what they need to do is be able to be open and you to honestly answer their questions back. And as we said in our sermon, just saying because is not the right answer. You need to give them a biblical answer. Interesting, when you look at the first several chapters of the book of Proverbs, particularly Proverbs 7, which really deals with a young man making several wrong choices, this is all written from the perspective of a father talking to his son. And he's talking to him about some facts of life, some difficulties. But what we see is this open discussion, this honesty here. And so that's created by not always interrupting our teens. Let them speak. Let them disagree. Let them say, but let them prove their point. Just saying, well, you know, I don't like this is not enough. Why don't you like this? And go down that road with them and talk about things. Share your own experiences with them. You know, sometimes as a child, they look at you and they think, well, you never had any troubles in your life. You always were perfect. And we all know we weren't. And sometimes sharing those mistakes. Yeah, you know, I remember being in school and yeah, I cheated and I got caught cheating and that wasn't the right choice. Or yeah, I was with some friends and this really happened to me one time. I was in a car one time and there were six of us. I was in the back seat and the driver took out marijuana and they passed it around. They came to me. I threw it out the window. He stopped the car and made me get out. I had to walk home. But you know, you learn from things like, and when you're honest, and they realize, well, you know what? Dad, Mom's not much different than I am. And having that atmosphere, that's what I think. I think sometimes young people are afraid to speak the honesty because I'm going to get shouted down at Mom and Dad. They're going to just preach a sermon at me. They're going to ground me, and they're just going to blow a gasket here. And what we need to do is have this atmosphere. And I think this is true within the church. We need to have an open atmosphere where we can talk to each other without being fearful and running to conclusions, but have a dialogue. And that needs to be understood. You just can't say what you want to say, throw some jabs, and then that's it. We're going to have a discussion here. You may say whatever you want to say, but then I'm going to reply. I'm going to listen to you. And I want you to listen to me.
That's how we grow, right? And all of us, as we grow up, have questions. There was a point in time, obviously not that long ago, where if we had questions, we would open a dictionary or open a book, an encyclopedia. And then, you know, maybe we got to the point where if I had a question, I would automatically just turn to Google. It's fascinating to me as you watch trends. Someone in their preteen or early teen years, they just naturally, if they have a question, many of them, statistics would tell us, immediately go to YouTube. And YouTube can be an amazing resource, right? But Christian mom and dad, YouTube cannot be the primary answerer of your children's questions. And that, if we're going to make sure that we're providing a biblical basis for their faith, a biblical worldview that we not only model, but we deliberately teach, a lot of that involves being very attentive, very patient, very interactive when our children have questions.
And part of that is helping them to find answers, helping them to learn to think on their own. You know, if they come to you and it's been a day of school and the teacher's pounded evolution in their head and you just say, well, go find the answer. Go find the Bible. Well, that doesn't really answer the question. You've got to lead them through. You've got to get them to start thinking logically, seeing consequences. Okay, this guy says this, but this is inconsistent over here. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? And you start putting the things together. And what you're doing is you're teaching them how to think for themselves, how to find answers, how not just to believe everything they read or to hear, but to see it with truth. And then to understand behind all of this, the Bible is always right.
Absolutely. We need to learn a lot of lessons from history. And that leads us to the fourth question I had. You are a big history buff. I enjoy history as well. You especially, it seems like to me, have been doing a lot of digging and reading about Southern Indiana history. And as an example of tough times historically, even right here in our own backyard, you mentioned in your sermon all the way back in 1834, there was just a devastating cholera outbreak here in southern Indiana. Roger, what do you think, even for those who maybe aren't as fascinated by history as you and I are, what's the value of remembering the history around us?
You know, history is kind of like going to the dentist. Some love it and some hate it. So, that's just kind of how it is. Well, you know, what's interesting about that story I was reading, it said that in southern Indiana, every single home had at least one death by cholera. And so number one, that gives us a perspective. You know, we look at this pandemic we're in now. Not every single home has had a death. Okay, boy, that would change things if it did, wouldn't it? And it reminds us we're not the only ones to go through tough times. Other people have gone through tough times. It also reminds us that life goes on. Here we are all these years later, and we're still clicking, and we're still doing things, and it wasn't the end of the world. And through all of this, what we're talking about in this podcast is God. They had God, we have God. They had tough times, we have tough times. And we need to realize that God remains on the throne. That's one of the valuable lessons of history. The Bible really is a history book. But more than that, it's a book of life that points us to Jesus. And so these old stories, whether they come from our history or they come from the biblical side of things, they remind us that God is always involved in our lives.
They shape, they sharpen our perspective. You used that word a moment ago, and I think that is key. If we're not careful, then we so easily lose perspective as modern Christians. And when we lose perspective, we've talked a lot this year so far about seeing clearly. When we lose our perspective, we begin to take our eyes off the goal. We take our eyes off the path. We take our eyes, as you've mentioned, most seriously of all, off of God. And the consequences from there are all downhill. That leads us to the last question that I jotted down. I even just wrote down the quote from your sermon. You said, when you're looking in the wrong direction, all you see are problems. And so on an ordinary Wednesday here in the middle of this week, what would you say to someone on their way to work or they're on the treadmill or mowing the grass? What can I do to broaden that perspective and sharpen my focus on things above today?
And you may have a long list of things to do today. You might have woken up just sighing already. There's so much that's got to be done, so many issues, so many things are just not normal still. And you just want to wake up and everything be the way it was back in January. Well, it's not. And remind yourself from what the Bible teaches that this is the day that the Lord has made. We need to rejoice. We need to realize how God sees this day. God has given you today. This is the day to honor him. This is the day to bless him. What's this day going to do to me? At the end of today, am I going to be worse off or have I glorified God? Have I made good use of this day? And so what you do is rather than looking around at all the problems, and there's a lot of problems, and we can just be fixated on all the things that are wrong, and pretty soon we just want to put a sack over our head and just quit. I mean, there's just so many things that are wrong. Or we can look at it from heaven down. Yeah, there's been problems. There always has been. But here we are. And here I am. And God wants me to follow him. God wants me to love him. And wherever I can, God wants me to make a difference the best I can.
We have a race to finish, right? And that was your closing illustration. So powerful in your sermon. I would, once again, if you have not watched or listened, I'd really encourage you to go back and realize that today it's another lap in this race. But God has not saved us so that we can start a race. God has saved us and is strengthening us and empowering us today to finish the race of being heaven bound. One practical thing that all of the members of our church family here locally can do, and perhaps even from a distance if you are able to watch online tonight. We are kicking off our annual summer series this evening. For the last several years, we've had that during the months of July and August, and this year, a great newer hymn that we are basing the entire series on, My Eyes Have Seen Your Glory. I've got the privilege of kicking that off this evening at 7 o'clock p.m. Roger, you're going to be taking a week from this Wednesday, and then 2 weeks from today, throughout the rest of August, Lord willing, we've got a variety of great guests lined up from all over the country who are going to speak to us on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock p.m. Obviously, we would love to have you, if you are local, join us this evening. But as I mentioned, we're also going to be live streaming this. And so on our Facebook page or YouTube or first and foremost at charlestownroad.org, if you are not able to join us in person, here's a great way later today that you can broaden that perspective, sharpen your focus on things above. My eyes have seen your glory. Just a great, great series of topics. But Roger, also this Sunday, we're kicking off some new Bible classes.
We are. It begins a new quarter for us here at Charlestown Road. And so the children's classes are going to be done by Zoom, and they've all been connected with that. There's going to be two adult classes that will be videotaped, and they will be available on Sunday. Jason will be teaching the parables of Jesus, focusing upon, again, this idea of vision and seeing things. I'll be taking the other class through the study of the book of Daniel. And, again, we've spent a lot of time this year looking at some of the great prophetic books like Isaiah and Ezekiel. Now we're going to do Daniel, and just giving us a look at some books that we haven't spent a lot of time with, and hopefully be very helpful to us.
It's amazing what God helps us see from those ancient books or those parables of Jesus. Finally, this coming Sunday, of course, to supplement the fact that we're not gathering on Sunday evenings, as is typical, we've both had a shot at Bible Words You Should Know. If you haven't watched those, again, they're freely available at charlestownroad.org. A couple of weeks ago, you did Gospel. This past Sunday, I did Atonement. What do you have lined up for this Sunday evening?
This Sunday, we're going to talk about the word baptism. It's a word that a lot of us think we know everything about it already, but we're looking at this as they are connected. The gospel leads to atonement. Atonement's connected to baptism, and there'll be another word after that we're going to look at. And these are just words that we ought to know. And there's layers and layers of things we can look at, and we hopefully will be able to do that this Sunday evening.
Finally, Sunday morning at both 9:30 and 11, we've got those split assemblies again to make sure that we're able to provide as much safe and accommodating space as possible. We will be assembling. There's the opportunity to check in at charlestownroad.org to make sure that we have everything lined up, available, and ready to go. I've got the privilege of speaking, and I'm going to be asking the question, for what are we aiming? What are we aiming for in a variety of different practical aspects of our lives? Still really revolves around seeing clearly the way that God would have us to. Roger, I appreciate you joining me to think through some of those practical questions from your great sermon on Sunday. We appreciate you listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We hope that it's provided a little fuel for your journey today. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week. We would love to have you continue to grow with us.